I hope that through this sermon, God will be able to appeal to each one of us, whatever our needs. May this sermon motivate us and inspire us all the more to work for God and do this ministry of reconciling the world to Him. Bridging the world to God. So, I would like to start my sermon through sharing to you the my first experience in my visit here at APNTS. That was like 4 years ago. So I'm already overdue here. I'm already 4 years studying. But 4 years ago, year 2014, I was in my second year of training in our Bible College in Tanay, Rizal, and the Salvation Army decided to send one of the students of the Bible school cadets, and that was me, and they gave me the opportunity to do a masteral course. So that was, I was excited, but also I was like fearful of the responsibilities, the added responsibilities given to me. And it was Captain Loretta. Maybe some of you knows her. She is an alumna of the school, and she's one of my Bible school professors. She was the one who recommended me to do my postgraduate degree here. And I remember that day, she told me, she was instructing me, how would I be able to get here at APNTS, because she's not available to accompany me on my first day of, because I need to inquire about the details, the procedures that I need to go through for our registration here. And then she told me that you will know that you are already in APNTS by when you, before you, the jeepney that you will be riding reaches to a bridge. So my landmark is a bridge. The jeepney should drop you off before it reaches a bridge. So it's only now that I figured out that it's that small bridge just a little bit farther from our front gate. And so I said, okay, I think that's easy to remember. I have to think of the bridge. So to cut the story short, I arrived at Tikling, but I never saw that little bridge just in front of our front gate. So I ended up being dropped off in that footbridge in Taytay Tikling, in the intersection, that long footbridge all over the intersection of Taytay Tikling. So I said, that was something that I first remembered in my first visit here at APNTS. So I entered the school. I was introduced to Pastor Elcid, who is the public relations officer during that time. He walked me through the whole place. It was an amazing time for me to just see the nature and reflect, relax during that time. I was introduced to some students and even the staff, and it was a beautiful experience. Before I went home, he gave me this a couple of souvenir items. He gave me refrigerator, magnets, and even a couple of bookmarks. And with them are the words, "Bridging Cultures for Christ." So I was thinking that day, three memorable bridges that I have encountered this day. The small bridge that should be the landmark where I should be dropping off whenever I come to APNTS. The footbridge where I am literally being dropped off when I first visited here. And the bridge that forms part of the motto of APNTS, that is Bridging Cultures for Christ. For the next few more days, I figured out there's a lot more bridges I will be encountering and maybe studying and maybe contextually applying as I get to live with various cultures throughout my whole stay here in this place. So coincidentally, or maybe it's not coincidence, I would rather call it God's incidence, my first memorable experience, evangelistic experience, was through the use of a bridge tool. Do you know the ang tulay? In Filipino, it's called tulay, the bridge. And it's a one-verse evangelism tool about Romans chapter 6, verse 23. So it's telling the gospel in one verse to a person. So that was way, way back when I was still in my collegiate years, when we were the youth group department of our church in Pasay City. My parents were assigned that time in the central part of Manila. And we have a schedule of one-on-one evangelism in a strange place. Like it's not, it should be outside the vicinity of the church where we are staying. So we decided to do our evangelistic meeting or evangelistic ministry in Rizal Park. So what we first did is we observed the people, we approached some, and then we began asking them for if they could spare us some of their time to listen to us because there's something significant we wanted to share to them. So we came to this middle-aged woman, and it seems that she is not actually just visiting or roaming through the park. She actually is staying in that park because there's a bunch of, I think, a large bag, plastic bag of her clothes in a spare bench in that park, and then a couple of personal belongings, personal hygiene, and eating utensils. So basically, maybe she stayed in that place for how many days and weeks now? We approached her and greeted her, and she welcomed us and gave us the opportunity to share to her the gospel. So one of the youth in our group started sharing to her the gospel, and she began by the illustration of the bridge. And she spoke about how God, in His great love for people, would like to reconnect with humanity because there is an existing gap between humanity and God. And then as we are in the middle of explaining Romans chapter 6, verse 23 to this middle-aged woman, tears began to shed in her eyes. And then we thought it was a good sign. Wow, she is emotionally moved. We think that the Word of God is actually imploring, and it's touching her heart. But then she began to speak up. And this is what her words. She said, if what you're saying is true, that God is love, that God wants to reconnect with me, that wants to reach out to me, then how come I am in this miserable situation right now? I am left alone by my own family. I am hungry. I am homeless. I am helpless. So she's seeing no hope in her life at that very situation. We heard her bitter cry. We heard her angry blames to a so-called loving God. And instead of finishing the conversation, what we did is like we consoled her and we cried with her as she shares to us her whole life story. So basically that day became so memorable to me because from that day on, I treasured the learning I have taken from that encounter. I have seen the reality of a broken humanity in need of God and the greater need for the bridge that can restore them back into a peaceful relationship with Him. So that's the only time I figured out that people, how utterly people have gone too far. They are so alienated from God. And I thought it was all their fault. But as I continued to ponder on, I was thinking, is it really their fault that they are separated from God? Is it really just their decision to live apart from the Lord? Because as I tried to reflect on my response, am I sure that I am not a contributor in this process? Because I'm thinking like, am I not making the gap wider? Because by doing nothing, by not doing something within this existent dilemma between humanity and God, it seems like I am only widening the gap between man's alienation, humanity's alienation to God. I know for sure that God is stirring something more within my heart during that day. The scripture we read today in 2 Corinthians, particularly focusing our key verse, is found in So our key verse is found in verse 18, and it says there, God reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So those words speaks right through my heart, and I would call it my calling verse because it puts this burden on me. The compelling love of God that is the burden to reach out and bridge the world back to God. The idea of reconciliation, as spoken here by Apostle Paul, is otherwise termed by some theologians as justification. It's, for some, it's reunification or reunion with God, a restoration of a broken relationship. Some others say it's the forgiveness of humanity's utter sinfulness. But the Greek term used for the word was katalazo. And it's a combination of the word kata, according to, and alazo, that is to change, to exchange one thing for another, or to transform. So it's not just, by capturing the true meaning of this word, it's not just, it's this word is trying to imply to us how heavy, how weighty that sin is that has placed the gap between humanity and God. And this dilemma is not just like, well, God can just shake hands with us and then forget all the humanity sin and then let's all have fun together, let's all forget about the past and move on together. This Greek term tells us that reconciliation that God has effected in his relationship to humanity involved an exchange. It's a costly exchange. It costs the sacrificial life of our Lord Jesus Christ to be able to compensate. His death and his resurrection from the grave must compensate for the punishment of humanity's sinful acts and rightfully bring them back to this loving, to this reconciling relationship with God. What I can picture out from this, from the idea of Apostle Paul about reconciliation here is yet still another image of a bridge. So it looks like this. The Great Exchange presents to us a picture of God wanting to connect with humanity. It was God who wanted to initiate reconciliation with us. As I read through this, the background of this text, of this letter by the Apostle Paul, some scholarly writing says that the background of this letter, the letter to the Corinthians is because of a defense. The Apostle Paul wanted to defend himself from his bashers because he has detractors during this time. They are trying to falsify, to put down the authority that the Apostle Paul has, being a follower and apostle of Christ. So basically, maybe the main point or the main root of that bashing is because he has a negative past record. As we all know, Apostle Paul is a persecutor of the church. He's a blasphemer because he never believed in the messiahship of Jesus Christ, and he was a murderer of many of the followers of Christ. But Apostle Paul speaks of Christ's direct call for him to ministry as he testifies about as he testifies about his whole conversion experience in the road to Damascus. So he's saying, it's like in another way of saying, I cannot control it. This is so hard. So he's trying to say from his detractors that my call, my qualification for apostleship is not actually dependent upon my past record or even in my own hard work, in all the efforts that I put into this ministry. But my call is the initiative of God. It was Jesus Christ himself who called him directly in his journey towards the road of Damascus. So it implies to him and even to his detractors and even to the people during the time that it is God who initiates to reconcile people to himself. It is God who directly calls people to become part of his kingdom, to also take part in this kingdom building in this part of the world. So the Lord is the one who builds a bridge for his people, and he provides the means for us to come back into him, into a loving relationship. Yeah, there's a picture of Apostle Paul's conversion. But it is through Christ alone that we are reconciled to God. An emphasis, however, to the sacrificial work of Christ in the whole reconciling transaction is highly upheld in this letter. Christ's death on the cross, as well as his resurrection from the grave, is the foundational basis of our reconciliation with God. I. Howard Marshall, a New Testament theologian, explains the concept behind the reconciling act of God through Christ. And he says, by identifying himself with sinners and dying for them, Christ has made it possible for sinners to be regarded as righteous and to have a right standing with God. So it's like this. Jesus Christ did not merely model for us a change or a transformed life for humanity, but he actually exchanged his righteousness for our righteousness, his death for our death in sin, and his resurrection for our experience of a new and changed life. This is not just a simple exchange. He transferred his what he did in the cross of Calvary and even his resurrection from the dead so that we may experience it. Some other scholars view the reconciling act of Messiah as pertaining to the creation of the new man or the new person in us. This is how one artist depicted the work of Christ in bridging humanity to God. Christ himself reaching out for humanity, and then as he reaches out to them, the hand of God. He's the one who's bringing this all forth to reconcile the world to him. But the story never ends there. The story, the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, addresses the believers to respond to the appeal that they must not only be merely reconciled to God, but to take not the grace of God in vain, he says in verses 6:1-2, that they need to participate in this whole ministry of bridging the world to God. There is a plea in the voice of Apostle Paul saying, we urge you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Marshall states that there is significance in humanity's ultimate response to this call. Without a response to God's initiative, no reconciliation can take place. Yeah. If the offer is not accepted, people will continue to live in alienation from God. What does those words say to us? Without a response to God's initiative, without a response to God's initiative, no reconciliation can take place. If the offer is not accepted, people will continue to live in alienation from God. Take it from the perspective of a believer. This is not just a message for the unbelievers. It's for us, the Corinthian church, the believers. If we do not respond to the call, if we do not participate in the ministry of reconciling, of bridging the world to God, the people will continue to be alienated, to be separated from God. So, to be reconciled to God is not merely an invitation to get into right relationship with Him. It's not only all about being one with Christ and living the new life we have with Christ, but also in sharing the whole endeavor of bridging the world to God, of helping people find their way in living a new life in Christ. God reconciled us to Himself so that through our reconciliation with God, He gave us this ministry of reconciliation, and through that, we can see a better picture of what God wants to do with the whole of humanity. So, I think the whole bridging image looks far much better if the whole bridging image looks far much better if we act not merely as the end of God's grace. If we act not merely as if the salvation of God, the kingdom of God that has cost Jesus Christ's life only ends in us. We must be the means. We must be the bridge. We must be the agents of God's salvation for people by helping them find the bridge back to God. As my years of study here at APNTS nears to an end, well, hopefully I can finish my papers on time, but it's during these times that I'm beginning to reflect how God has been good in my life, how He has shaped me so well, how He has equipped me and prepared me to form part of this ministry of reconciliation. So through all the class requirements, the unending readings, And even my fellowship, the learnings that I get from my co-believers here in APNTS, plus my church appointment in Antipolo for 3 years now, the Lord has not only drawn me nearer to Him, the Lord has not only allowed me to appreciate more deeply that reconciling relationship I enjoyed with Him throughout my journey. But all the more, the thing that I appreciated all the more is that God opened my eyes. He allowed me to see more clearly the reality of the need to reach out for others, to reach out for those people who are so alienated from God, to begin to care more for the welfare of those people who haven't seen care, who haven't experienced true love, just like that middle-aged woman in Rizal Park, and to become myself a bridge, a means, an agent by which people can find their way back into a reconciling relationship with God. My prayer is that as some of us are going to be leaving this place soon, or as some of us are going to be staying here, wherever God puts us in the ministry, in this whole ministry of reconciliation, may the Lord uphold us. May He preserve our calling. And may He deepen our passion to do something, to participate in this whole wonderful ministry of reconciling the world back to God. That's my prayer. May it really be so. May it really be so in our lives. So may God bless us all.